The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to the Curry and Claypool Show. Hopefully our microphones sound better here. I don't want to be doing this.
Your voice only sounds good. You can
I don't want to be doing this for you. So, Bama last night, close win against South Carolina. Brandon Miller gets the game winner with 0.9 seconds left. He gets 41-8-3 last night, 41 points, the most points scored by D1 freshman this year, and also the most in program history for the Alabama Crimson Tide right now. Somewhere between a 1 and 2 seed overall.
Yeah, I know.
So they'll be a 1 seed, but overall, they're having just a wonderful season last night, a little closer than they thought.
Yes.
He hits the game-winning layup with 0.9 seconds, 78-76. So we're hearing about this gun situation, of course, with Michael Lynn Davis and Miles. And when I kept hearing that Miles asked Brandon Miller to bring him his gun, mm-hmm. I thought his was Brandon Miller's gun.
Right. Yes, that's what I thought initially.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is not good.
Right.
And then I kept digging and digging and digging because I want to make sure I knew what I was talking about, and come to find out that it's not Brandon Miller's gun, it's Miles' gun. And of course, Miles is not the one that pulled the trigger. Michael Lynn Davis is. Killed a 23-year-old woman on the strip, the mother of a 5-year-old.
Say that again, because I didn't hear that this morning. Say that again.
Miles asked Brandon Miller to bring him his joint, which is slang for his gun. Here's how it went down. So Miller was supposed to pick up Miles to do something, go out, whatever. He kept texting him over the course of an hour, you coming. It took about an hour before he got there. He said, I'm on the way. And then that's when Miles texted Miller and said, bring me my joint, which is his gun. According to testimony and text messages from the Tuscaloosa Police Department, the gun was in the backseat of the car underneath some clothes. They didn't say if Brandon even knew the gun was there, but obviously he was being asked to bring him his gun, that is Miles' gun. Miles then handed it off to Michael Lynn Davis, who was the trigger man.
That's important because that is not consistent with what some of the stories are that are being talked
about.
That's
what we know so far.
Right, because they were saying it was Brandon Miller's gun.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's not.
No. Brandon Miller didn't handle the gun. He didn't touch the gun. He didn't see the gun.
It's not his gun.
He stayed in the car during the whole situation.
And it's not his gun.
Once the bullets started flying, no, it's not Brandon Miller's gun. See, okay. And that's one of those things where he said, Brandon, bring me, he didn't say, bring me your gun.
Or a gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that's another reason why the Tuscaloosa Police Department can't use him as an accessory. There's nothing to charge him for. And we'll get into the Nate Oates thing and bad place, wrong time, blah, 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 blah. We'll get into that in a second. I was talking to a friend of mine who lives on the strip, who's a black man, yesterday afternoon about the situation. He actually called me and he's like, man, if you were doing sports radio, I said, I'll do it. I got Kiefer and Curry show, which we do every single week here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. We started doing that this week. We talk sports, and you and I, we love talking sports.
Yeah.
And I said, what's Brandon Miller thinking? You know, being 20 years old, top 5 NBA prospect, could be the player of the year, even running around with a gun. Why does a 20-year-old need a gun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's asking me to bring me my gun or his gun, why did he have his gun, which is not a good look? I sure as hell wouldn't be if someone, I got a Ruger, and if you called me and said, hey, bring me your gun today, I'd go, what do you need my gun for?
Right.
I'd ask questions. Yeah. First of all, I'd say, go get your own damn gun. Now, if you want to go, I'm going to Hoover Tactical.
Well, that's a different, right. Great.
Or can I borrow your shotgun? I'm going hunting with my dad this weekend. That's different. So, but according to this friend of mine, and this is something that pasty white 56-year-old guy doesn't understand white guy doesn't hoop.
Right, right.
It's a cultural situation. He's like, dude, I'll bet you half that basketball team owns guns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cultural thing that I don't understand. I'll probably never understand it. based on where you live, how you live, the color of your skin, the racial inequalities and issues we have in this country, I'll never understand it.
That is true.
And as long as I'm not black, I'll never understand it. I can have an opinion about it. I can think about it. Well, I'd never do that. Well, if he did something wrong, why didn't he just get on the ground? Blah, 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 blah. We just don't know what we do in this particular situation because we're not black. And so I was like, okay, I get that. I don't think that it's not a good look for Brandon Miller. And by the way, they were lock him up. They were chanting that last night. It's all over social media this morning. Yeah. I get that. Fans are going to say stupid things. You know, they're going to do that all the time. And so I fully expected to hear something like that. And I kind of smirked when I heard it, despite the fact it's a horrible situation. They said he's guilty. Then, of course, he goes off for 41 and kicks your ass in the basketball court last night. This is a product of a bigger issue that we have in this country with gun ownership and gun control. And it is. And I will say this, and again, he's 20 years old, and I think about all the dumb things I did when I was 20. I'm not sure why Brandon Miller had the gun in his car.
Right.
I'm not sure why it was sitting in the back seat underneath some clothes.
Right.
That there's something here that doesn't jive, doesn't feel right, because I'm thinking, why would you just leave a pistol in the backseat of the car under some clothes?
Right. And it was loaded.
And so there's something, there's a bridge that's not being, there's a bridge that needs to be gapped here somewhere. I'm not sure what it is. Something's not right. I will agree with Nate Oates in that it does appear that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You hang out with dogs, you're going to get fleas, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And Brandon Miller needs to realize right now that he is going to be a role model. He is going to be a superstar in the NBA, and that he needs to start picking his friends, even friends on his own basketball team, a little bit more carefully. But people were saying he shouldn't have played last night. I think he should have played last night, and I'll tell you why, because you don't want to acknowledge that he did anything wrong. By not playing him last night, you're basically saying you're suspending him for a game and that we're looking into the situation.
Right. It's not a good, I mean.
No, there's nothing good about this.
And the other thing is, and I think I can say this. I do work with athletes. I'm a 54-year-old white guy who lives in a relatively affluent neighborhood.
You live in 6'5".
What?
6'5". Six bedrooms, five bathrooms.
No, dude, three and three. but one of the things I see with the athletes I work with, particularly when they have high visibility, particularly when they could be, they're definitely going to be first round, but could be, he ain't going to be number one anyway, because the French guy be number one. Anyway, the decision making that you have to make when you are that level of an athlete at 19 is contrary in so many ways to what you would do as a 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm trying to be careful here because we don't know what exactly happened. But you can take a step back, and if a friend said, "I'm in trouble," or "I need something, I need you to drive here," and you just drove and you got there and it was a sketchy situation. You know, a 19-year-old for a friend would likely stay in that situation or help, right? Yep. But one of the things that I think is really hard to communicate to the most elite of college athletes who are young is you are living in a very different world. Yep. Like, even though you're in your world, you know, it's almost like you want to look at it as you can't do most of the things that you would just naturally do. Mm-hmm. Go defend a friend.
And not think twice about it.
That's exactly. I'm not talking. This is not. And I'm trying to broaden it because we don't know the details. It's not just the gun thing. I have literally seen this. I saw this during COVID with some of the volleyball players I coach. They broke COVID protocol to go help a friend who was having a rough time. She wasn't suicidal. She had a rough time. She should have never broke COVID protocol because she's the number one volleyball player in the country. It's these kinds of things that's, if you think about it, at 19, you know, you're just trying to navigate becoming a young adult. Yep. You're trying to make these decisions, and a lot of times those decisions run so contrary. Defend a friend. Mm-hmm. Be loyal to a friend. Be loyal to a teammate. You know, like, those are the things we teach them, but then at the same time, what we have to say to them, but be careful. You can't always be loyal. You have to think about yourself as a very different kind of person. And that is incredibly hard to do in the minute.
I agree. We see it in the NFL all the time.
Yeah.
NFL players who make it big.
Yeah.
They go back to the hood. Or they go back to their old neighborhood. They're hanging out with the guys. They're best friends. They've lived with their entire lives.
And they're young. And they're young. I think that's the other thing. We're old.
And now all of a sudden they're 22, 23 years old. They're millionaires. And next thing you know, they're getting themselves in trouble. You're like, dude, look what you have in front of you. How many? I mean, it's amazing. And listen, I don't want to paint, you know,
it's not just
from an ethnicity standpoint. I don't want to paint that all.
Oh, no. This is across the board.
Because we all have our groups of friends that get us in trouble, and the guys mm-hmm. we used to hang out in college and in high school and even after that. But these, all of a sudden, you're a famous individual. Charles Barkley has talked about it numerous times. You know, you got to start picking your friends. Hey, man, I can't hang out with you anymore. Right. You know, we used to go to strip clubs. I can't do that anymore. Because you're changing your life. And you want to be that guy because you want to look like you're no different. Oh, big man, millionaire coming right. in the house. No, dude, I can still hang with the cats. I can still. And I've hung out with some people that have made it pretty big, and they're different. And people are like, yeah, he doesn't even talk to me anymore. Well, maybe there's a reason why he won't talk to you anymore.
Because
he can't associate himself with you because it's going to make him look bad because there's cameras all over him. I get that.
Well, and let's layer in there, because I think it's so important, is the age. These are not 40-year-olds who've hit it big, you know, who've had a chance to develop. I mean, if we're going there, you've heard me talk about this a million times. Their stupid front of their brain, their frontal cortex, isn't fully developed at age 19, 20. And frontal cortex is executive decision-making, thinking about the future and what it may be if I do this. It's literally not fully developed. And yeah, you put on top of it, you've put public exposure, so everybody's watching. At the pro level, you put on public exposure plus money, mm-hmm. right? And this runs across every ethnicity.
Yeah.
Is when you take a young person and you elevate them to this, and you put all that around them, and what you're basically saying is, in the case of athletes, do the sport you've always done,
mm-hmm.
do it the way that you've always done it, play as hard as you've ever been, however, change every other part of your life.
Yeah. The question's going to be fodder on sports radio.
It's intimidated everybody.
It's going to come up. It's going to say, if Brandon Miller was not a starter, was a sixth man, a bench player, would he be disciplined?
I would hope not. Not if they didn't do it as
well. Or would they say, listen,
we're
not going to play you. You're only playing 10, 15 minutes anyway. We're going to pull you out until things cool off a little bit. I think that's fair at any business, at any level. If your top sales guy gets a DUI or is
there's been no charges against him.
I know, and there probably won't be. But it's a cultural thing. It's not the entire cultural, but it's cultural in white people too. But if I've got a friend of mine tell me to come pick me up, and he tells me to bring his gun, mm-hmm. I'm going to start asking questions. Because I'm not going to be accessory to that, and I don't want to know why you need your gun. First of all, why the hell, again, I just read what I, there may be more information that comes out of this. Why in the hell did he have Miles' gun in his car? I've had guys hide weed in my car. And I used to do it. Hey, can I put this in your glove box overnight? Sure. No. No. You go find, or friends call me up. Hey, if my wife calls, tell her I stayed at your house last night. Hell no.
That's
no, and I love these guys. And I'm like, dude, I'm not lying for you. I this is your issue. You want to use someone else to do it. I'll try to cover your tracks the best I can, but I'm not going, you're not taking me down with you. I'm not doing it. And in this particular case, why that gun was in the backseat of the car underneath some clothes in his car was red flag number one. If he's guilty of anything, it could be stupidity, and he's again, 20 years old, I would say, listen, dude, you can't do that. You cannot do that. Hey, I'm going to put this in your glove box until I see you next. No, you're not. You're taking it with you.
Well,
I don't give a shit where you're
going. Yeah. What if you vote if you've always done that, always done it, that's the way you've always done it. Like, again, whether it's guns or strip clubs. I mean, I know that they're two different things, but that's it is so hard to convince somebody at that young age.
No, because he's still impressionable.
Of course
he still wants to be one of the guys.
Yes.
He wants to be friends with guys.
Well, and a lot of times
he wants people to think that he's not different than them.
I was going
to
say, so let me take one. Let me try to broaden it past him. Let me try to take another deep psychological move on this one. One of the hardest things about becoming the person, the superstar on an athletic team, or even if you just become a celebrity status, maybe you're a musician or whatever, there is this feeling that that your friends who have been there, they're not going to like you anymore. Yeah. That they're not. And so a lot of times you see elite athletes, you see celebrities, young celebrities. Essentially, they're overcompensating. Mm-hmm. They're going to do all the stuff that their friends did. They're going to do everything they can to prove that they haven't changed.
Yep.
And I think this is the hardest thing. And I've had this conversation with athletes. You haven't changed. You're still you. You could still go hang out with those people. You could still go do those things. The problem is the world has changed in their view of you.
Yep.
And that's a lot to take in, but that's what I always try to tell the athletes is, you're still you,
yep.
You're still a loyal friend, you're still good, but guess what? Now every move you make and the things you do are not always interpreted the way you intend them to be.
Yep.
And the problem with that
even is, when you know you're doing nothing wrong.
Exactly. And that's,
it's who you're seen with, it's who you're seen with, you're in college. You're not going to be in college much longer. You want to enjoy the college experience. These are your friends.
Even parties. Again. I mean, we have this, like, even going to college parties.
Yeah.
And the athletes know this. This is why a lot of the athletes, the teams have their own parties.
Yeah.
Their internal parties.
Mm-hmm.
And, they do what they do. But that is the problem. And we see it in old, people who are 30, 40, 50. They have a hard time navigating themselves. You take a 19, 20, 21-year-old, they're still trying to figure out the world.
Sure. Yep, we'll see what happens. But time is always lousy for something like this.
Well, and Alabama's number one.
And Nate Oates is I think he's fantastic. He's a great coach. From him boohooing on Coach K last season, I thought was off the hook a little bit. I was kind of like, okay. Yeah. Probably not the best thing to say, but he's certainly filling his shoes pretty well. And of course, for him to sit there and say that Brandon was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then he had to come back and apologize for it. Okay. You just can't do that. You can't do, and he knows that, and that's why I apologize for it.
Well, that's why I texted you about Greg Burns. Interviews. I heard in the interviews he's.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and he has to. I mean, because for legal purposes, yeah. Every word that came out of his mouth, it sounded like he was literally, and it may not be, but like he was literally having to think about each word.
Very, very calculated. All right, you're listening to the Curry and Claypool Show here on Facebook Live. We also put it up on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio app, TKR app through Apple, Tony Curry Radio on Android. Pull up the app. We've gotten tens of thousands of downloads. It's great. We do classic rock and roll 24 hours a day. We have 13 different shows, including our brand new show, Kiefer and Curry, which is a great sports show. We talked about the NBA. Who's the NBA going after for their fan base? I mentioned the fact that I love the NBA,
yeah.
And I want to watch the NBA, but every time I watch an NBA game, I feel like an outsider. I feel like they're letting me watch through the window.
Why?
Because I don't know who Burna Boy is, I don't know who Tema is, I don't know who Rena is, I don't know any of these acts that were playing during the
show. Oh, you're just old.
No, but I mean, it's by far the biggest fan base in the world. It's not even close. It's the most recognized sport in the world, and it's a sport that, quite frankly, I don't feel like I'm welcome to. Don't take my $800 to go see the Memphis Grizzlies, play the Lakers this weekend. But
why are you not welcome to
just,
it?
Just because I'm not who they're going after.
To watch or to
go? It's primarily a democratic black sport, period. 76% of the fan base are African Americans, which is fine.
But why do you feel
and so they target those groups
but that's
of people,
fine. No,
and
but
so
that's...
I don't know who Burna Boy is. So I want
but who cares? That's not the game.
No, and then we talked about the game itself. The All-Star game sucked.
Yeah.
I loved it last year. I thought it was actually pretty good. But this year it was like
it was a joke. Well, you can only do it's to watch them, for me anyway, and I've watched it, it's to watch all of them run around on the same team and throw the ball around and look at.
Yeah, but I mean, that's usually a first or second quarter thing. But the third quarter, I thought when they started associating money for charities,
right.
Now when they start associating money that goes in their pockets, you'll start seeing them play defense. But I mean, big brothers, big sisters, getting $100,000 is great. Super. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, because that's the other thing.
They're going to start seeing them play defense now because, you know, we got $200,000. No, you're not.
They're cutting.
No, you're not, because they're not going to turn an ankle for big brothers and big sisters.
Well, and they're cutting their own checks for millions to big brothers and big sisters.
And what's really funny is Antetokounmpo comes in for one play, and he's out. And then LeBron James sits the next night because he banged up his wrist dunking the basketball too many times. Dumbass. But he's the greatest basketball player I've seen. All right, back in 2 minutes here, we're going to get into the four things that your partner may be doing that they're keeping secrets. Not so much cheating.
No, it's not cheating. Secrets. It's all kinds of secrets.
According to Dr. Josh Claypo, we'll get into it next right here on the Curry and Claypo Show.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.